Eddie's was. Jake would have given 20 years of his life, 30, not to believe that. But he did. He supposed he had progged it somehow. The rooms of ruin, where the spiders spin and the great circuits fall quiet one by one. Jake knew a spider. Was Mia's child watching all of this, having fun? Maybe rooting for one side or the other, like a fucking Yankee fan in the bleachers? He is. I know he is. I feel him. Are you all right, kiddo? Dinky asked. No, Jake said. Not all right. And Dinky nodded, as if that was a perfectly reasonable answer. Well, Jake thought, probably he expected it. He's a telepath, after all. As if to underline this, Dinky had asked who Mordred was. You don't want to know, Jake said. Believe me. He snuffed his cigarette, half-smoked. All your lung cancer's right here in the last quarter inch, his father used to say, in tones of absolute certainty, pointing to one of his own filterless cigarettes like a TV pitchman, and left Corbett Hall. He used the back door, hoping to avoid the cluster of waiting, anxious breakers, and in that he had succeeded. Now he was in Pleasantville, sitting on the curb like one of the homeless people you saw back in New York, waiting to be called. Waiting for the end. He thought about going into the tavern, maybe to draw himself a beer. Surely if he was old enough to smoke and to kill people from ambush, he was old enough to drink a beer. Maybe just to see if the jukebox would play without change. He bet that Alguaciento had been what his dad had claimed America would become in time, a cashless society. And that old Seaberg was rigged, so you only had to push the buttons in order to start the music. And he bet that if he looked at the song strip next to 19, he'd see Someone Saved My Life Tonight by Elton John.